Take your Bibles with me this morning and open them to Psalm 147. Psalm 147. If you did not bring your Bible, I do want to encourage you to always bring a Bible because we use it and preach from it. But we do have a Bible there in the pew, a King James Bible, and you may use that. If you did not bring one, that's the black book that's there, and open that to Psalm 147. It's a marvelous thing to have the privilege to be able to preach the goodness of God. Our God is so marvelous and is so good. This psalm, Psalm 147, declares that very goodness of God. It sets forth the compassion of God towards every person, towards those that seem insignificant or even forgotten, to those that are undeserving, and especially to those with great sorrow and hurt within their life. I've titled this message, The Healer of Broken Hearts. Now follow along as I read the first five verses, and if you could, let's stand for the reading of God's Word, if you're able to stand. Psalm 147. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem, he gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. Now here is the theme of my message. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars, he calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. Now get this, his understanding is infinite. Talks about the broken heart. It is because of the power of a resurrected Savior that he can meet the needs of hearts that have been broken. And when it talks about binding up the wound, that word wound literally means an injury with great pain. And a lot of people have been hurt. And hurt, and I'm not talking about physically, we've all had our physical pain, but I'm talking about spiritually, emotionally, mentally. We have experienced a tremendous hurt, and it's with great pain, and it impacts our lives such that it impacts our choices, our person, our attitude, how we behave in our life. And again, it's because of the resurrection. Some might say, well, this doesn't sound like a resurrection message. It is indeed. It is because of a resurrected Savior that that Savior has the power to bind up your hurt and to minister to your wounds in life. Father, we come to you this morning. And Lord, I need your help today. Except you go before me and except you guide me, I will fail. No doubt there are many, many people here that have experienced hurt and several, no doubt, great hurt in their life. And our heart goes out to them. And Father, I pray that through this message, the Spirit of God will be able to take your word and help convince them with full understanding that the greatest healer of any and all hurt that they have experienced can be found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now those that are here that are without Christ as their Savior and have no hope of eternity with Christ, that's the greatest hurt that they'll experience. And Father, I pray that you'll bring conviction of their need to repent and put their faith in Jesus Christ. Now help us these next few minutes. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This world is full of hurt. You just don't have to look very far to find hurt. Sometimes all you have to do is look in the mirror. And everywhere you turn, and sometimes we wonder, why is there so much hurt? And like I said, we're not talking about physical injury. Most people recover from physical injury far better than they do emotional injury or mental injury, or that attacks them as a person. And they can limp through life almost worse with that type of an injury than they will with a broken leg or a lost leg. You see, everywhere is hurt. Everywhere you turn, there are people crying out in silence, "Help me. I'm hurting. But I'm scared to talk about it. I don't think I can tell somebody. I'm afraid somebody will laugh at me if I tell them. Or I've tried to tell somebody and they couldn't help me, and the hurt just became deeper." Everywhere you look, there is hurt. You see, you may have been hurt by the actions or words of another person. It may have been a parent. So many times children are wounded emotionally, mentally, by things that a parent does and a parent says. And there's never the effort to try to reconcile or make it right. And that hurt, they carry it through life. Sometimes it's by a sibling, a brother or sister. Sometimes people are hurt by a friend, or even a person of trust. And it's like a dagger that goes deep into the heart that bleeds perpetually. And what's worse yet, some people are hurt by Christians. And you know, all kinds of people get hurt by all kinds of people. Some intentionally, some unintentionally, but it doesn't negate the hurt that people experience. You may have been hurt by an uncontrollable event like a weather disaster, an accident, a disease, or that may have even led into death of one you loved. You may have been hurt or felt great guilt because of your own action or your own choices that have become irreversible. And you hurt with the guilt, feeling that the consequences and the guilt are unforgivable and irreversible. And you don't know what to do with them. So, here's what happens. Well, let me give you one more. Every hurt that anyone experiences is the result of unbiblical expectation. Now let me explain what I mean by that. Every hurt that every person has ever experienced, whether it be small or immensely large, is the result of unbiblical expectation. And here's one unbiblical expectation. You expect no one to hurt you. You expect people that you really care about to never hurt you. But do you see? God never promised that would never happen. Here's another unbiblical expectation. You expected God to remove the hurt or the hurtful person or the hurtful event. And God did not remove that. God never promised to remove all of those things. And for many people, they cried out to God when they were lost and without Christ and say, "God, you know, change my parent or change my friend or change this." And it never changed. And God, stop this from happening. And it never stopped. And if you prayed when you were lost, do understand. The Gospel of John, I think it's 1 John that says, "Now we know that God heareth not sinners." And he's talking about the lost. Now, that's not that God is incapable of hearing sinners. The principle is he never made a promise to an unsaved person that he would hear any prayer except the prayer unto salvation. Now, God sometimes does, but you will not find a promise where he's made a blanket promise to anybody without Christ that he would hear any other prayer and answer that. And then here's another unbiblical expectation for believers. You think because God says he will do whatsoever you ask, and you ask and then he didn't give it. If you will study that, it's within the context that you are living in daily obedience to Christ. And if you're not living in daily obedience to Christ when you ask God to answer that prayer, that promise is not effective. And so many times, or almost every hurt we experience, it is the result of an unbiblical expectation. And how big the hurt can be. Now let me tell you and kind of describe what happens when people are hurt. Now there are two ways to respond to hurt. You can respond like Joseph of Old Testament did when his brothers threatened to kill him and then eventually sold him into slavery into Egypt. And when he got down there, he was lied about, slandered about, put in jail, and you know, starts to look good, and then it gets really bad, starts to look good, gets really bad before it really gets good. And his brothers did this to him. If anybody could have had justification cause within mortal life to hate his brothers, it was Joseph. But down through the time when his brothers finally had to reckon with Joseph and realize that he had the power to execute them for what they had done, and they apologized with great remorse, he said, understand this, what you meant for wrong, God used for good. And the reality is, for the child of God, if you want to respond to hurt in a biblical way, if you will take what somebody means for wrong and evil, and turn it to use it for God's good and for God's glory. That's how a believer should respond to hurt. But if we don't respond that way, let me tell you how people typically respond. Many times they fear to tell anybody about it or seek help, godly help, biblical help. And they just let it brew and stew inside. And it boils and it festers. And they try to put a smile on, and they try to have fun. For some of the unbelievers, they may turn to alcohol, they may turn to drugs, they may turn to party, they may turn to, you know, whatever, workaholic or whatever, to try to escape the hurt, but wherever they go, it's there. And many of them will clam up, they'll refuse to tell anybody. And there are some who are threatened after hurting them that if you tell anybody, there will be horrible consequences to face. And out of fear, they fear to tell anybody. And so here's what they do. They endeavor to never speak out with their words, but in their behavior, they are crying out immensely. And in the process, many of them will try to clam up and try to box others out. And all of their relationships will be at a distance. Because they don't want to get too close for fear of getting hurt again and again. And in the process of boxing everybody out, they in essence box themselves into a dungeon of a cold, hurting heart with nothing and no one to help. And broken relationships and a broken life. Typically, it includes anger. The Bible, and we don't have time to go through all of these passages, but if you will study in the New Testament, over and over again, you'll find the typical process when somebody gets hurt and they don't deal with it biblically, then anger follows. And they become very angry inside, and it shows out in their life. And with anger always comes bitterness. And then with bitterness, on top of the anger, there comes wrath. Now you say, what's the difference between anger and wrath? Anger is that boiling emotion inside that how dare anybody hurt me. Wrath takes the boiling anger from inside and it wants to reach out and lash out and hurt somebody else, and especially the one that hurt them. And it's taking what is inside and it lashes out at those around them and wants to hurt them. And many times because of anger and bitterness, they don't only target the one that hurt them, but they target others, and they become calamities of the casualties of the whole thing. And so as you hurt others, it begins to hurt more inside, and the cycle continues with hurt and anger and bitterness and wrath and hurting and hurt and anger and bitterness and wrath and hurt. And the cycle just goes over and over and over. And misery within rises. And so they become angry, bitter persons that are miserable inside wherever they go and whatever they do. You can move halfway across the state and you won't be long there, and you'll discover that yourself has shown up with its anger and bitterness and misery. You can move halfway across the country and it won't be long and you'll discover that yourself showed up with its hurt, anger, and bitterness. You can move halfway around the world and it won't be long and you'll discover yourself showed up and your hurt and your anger and your bitterness and misery is right there with you. Because if you never deal with it biblically, it will never be dealt with at all. It becomes just a vicious cycle throughout that. And you know what? It wouldn't take you long to name five people that you know with an incredibly angry spirit and bitter and really miserable inside. And it wouldn't take a whole lot longer probably to mention 10. We would probably be surprised at how many right here this morning fit this description of living with hurt and not knowing how to deal with it, and crying out in their actions, "Help me, oh God. I'm tired of being miserable. I'm tired of this hurt. I am tired of this life." It may beg the question, why is there so much hurt? I mean, the world's full of it. Why is there so much? And where's God in all of this? How could God allow so much hurt to happen in this world? And forget about the world. How could God allow so much hurt to swamp my life and to swell in my life? Where's God in all of this? Well, let me assure you about God and give you this understanding. First of all, when God created this world, He created a perfect world. It was called the Garden of Eden. There was no sin. There was no disease. There was no death. There was no angry people. There was no lustful people. There was no disease that destroyed life or disasters that destroyed things. There was no, sin just did not exist. It was a perfect world. And as God created Adam and Eve and placed them into this perfect environment where none of what we see in life existed. But when He did that, He created them with a free will, because He did not create them as a robot forced to love Him, forced to obey Him, and forced to worship Him. He created with a free will and gave them the choice whether they wanted to love Him, obey Him, or fellowship with Him. You know, let me ask the spouse today, husband about your wife about your husband. What kind of a relationship would you have if once you were married, you have to love? I mean, you have no choice about it. You are forced to love. You are forced to obey. Now, make any difference what you think inside. I mean, be on the receiving. Let's not talk about the giving in. Let's be on the receiving side. What kind of relationship is that when all you know is they have no choice, they have to love me? And you don't know if they really love you or not. They have to obey me as a husband and head of this household. They have no choice about it at all. You don't know if they love you. They don't know if they really honor you or any of that. You know. Who wants a relationship? Well, there may be some, but really, who wants a relationship like that? Most of us want a relationship where we know they love us. They want to honor us. They want to be with us. They want to live with us. And this is the type of relationship God gave Adam and Eve that opportunity to have in the garden, in that perfect environment. But he told them, he says, now, you have this choice. You can eat of all of the trees in the garden except one that you may not eat of. And the day that you eat therein, ye shall die. And in that death, that was passed upon every person. You know, here's a great example of how your choices impact your kids. You don't like what's going on in the world, it's because of a parent's bad choice. And here we see one bad choice in what would appear, from human perspective, a very small matter. You have, let's say, 50 trees. You can eat out of 49. You can't eat off of one. They eat off of the one. You know, I've often told them about the cookie jar and how you could never hide the cookies from me, Mom. And I would get in trouble when I get caught with red-handed with a cookie in my hand when I wasn't supposed to. You know, it's no different disobeying to take a cookie when I'm not supposed to take a cookie than it was for Adam and Eve to eat off of a tree that they were not supposed to eat. But the significance, it wasn't the event itself per se, which was wrong, but it was the fact they disobeyed God. And because they disobeyed God, death came, the sin curse, and everything that you see in the world today is the result of the sin curse. So understand, it was by their one bad choice that we have so much problem. Now we can refer to it as sin in general. We are all born sinners. And just in sin in general, there's death, there's disease, there's lust, greed, dishonesty. You see, we're all born with that. Let me illustrate this with my great-granddaughter this morning. Does she ever think about you when she wakes up at night and wants to eat? No. She only thinks about herself. You will never have to teach her how to think about herself. That's part of the sin nature. We always think about ourselves. They haven't had to teach her how to throw a little temper tantrum, and she's probably already had one or two of those. You don't have to teach her how to do that. And as she grows a little older, they will never have to teach her how to steal a toy from another child. They will have to teach her how to share toys. But they'll never have to teach her how to steal a toy. They'll never have to teach her how to lie to them. Now, they'll have to teach her how to tell the truth. But do you see, that is a demonstration of the sin nature that we are born with. You won't even have to teach her how to break your heart. You see, sin in general, we already know how to do that. But there's also sin in specific. The things that we knowingly, willfully do out of greed, that it's centered around ourselves. We take things from other people, whether it be concrete things or abstract things. Lust, power, in the selfishness, pride, anger. You see, out of specific sins as well, every one of us here has probably hurt somebody, and it's because of specific sin in our life. And everybody here has been hurt because of somebody else's specific sinful behavior in their life. So do understand, When God created, he created everything perfect. There was no hurt and no way to hurt people because sin wasn't there. But when Adam and Eve chose to disobey and the sin curse came, sin is the root of all hurt and hurting. And so everybody that has been hurt, it comes back to the sin problem. Maybe it's because of specific sin in your life. Maybe not. It probably is because of specific sin of somebody else's life. But when you hurt somebody else, and let's be careful that we do not become self-righteous and pious and think, well, I've never hurt anybody else. Well, now you've just lied to yourself. And the thing that you despise in somebody else probably despises in you. And so how do you find healing for your hurt? It is through the resurrected power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, Resurrection Sunday is about far more than a religious celebration of a historical event. The resurrection of Christ is a living testimony of how Christ died, was buried, and rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures to atone for every spiritual need that you have in your life. And so, yes, the Resurrection Sunday, this is bringing the event of yesteryear into the needs of today and in your life personally. Now, what I'm going to show you this morning from God's Word will not change the past. We cannot erase the hurtful event that took place that you are hurting from today. We cannot erase that. We cannot go back and change the people that hurt you. They may never change. But what I want to show you from God's Word has the opportunity to change your relationship with God and your eternal destiny. And what I want to show you from God's Word is how you can change how you respond to the hurt that you have experienced in the past, may be experiencing today, or will experience in the future. And this can give you peace with God through eternal life. And it can also give you the peace of God within your heart that passes all understanding. As I said, the reason there is hurt is because of sin. Any hurt, every hurt, all hurt, it is the fruit of sin. And Christ dealt with sin on Calvary's tree. Turn with me to Isaiah 53. Isaiah in chapter 53. I will read verses 1 through 5. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now here's a great question. Are you going to believe the report of God's Word? You see, there's a lot of people that won't believe it. And they will pass on the greatest opportunity that they'll ever have in life. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. This is a prophetic statement looking forward to the person of Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry leading up to his death, burial, and resurrection. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. That means he was familiar and acquainted with nearly every kind of hurt that you have experienced. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Certainly this is true of the greatest spiritual injury, and that is being lost. And you could call it the healing of receiving eternal life. But it even goes beyond that. He is able to bring healing of the grief and the hurt and the bitterness and all that we have experienced in our life. You see, because He is a just God, sin has to be punished. Any sin, every sin, all sin, little sin, big sin. Because He is holy and He is just, every sin has to be punished. And you will find, because He is a loving God, He chose to be your substitute in payment on Calvary's tree. Any sin, all sin of every sinner, He took upon Himself on the cross of Calvary, so that you could be right with God and you could have healing for your life as well. Because He is a merciful God, He has withheld sudden punishment. Do you know, many a times people have thought, why doesn't God deal with that person? That person hurt me so bad they don't deserve to live. Why doesn't God just strike them dead with lightning? He is a just God, and God will judge the wicked. But He is also a merciful and a long-suffering God. And aren't we glad? Because if He had to be just and quick with justice with any sin, every sin, and all sin, none of us would be alive today. But because He is merciful, He has extended His long-suffering to give you and every other individual an opportunity to understand the goodness of God and the payment of Christ and come to repentance and come to forgiveness to receive Jesus Christ. He is a merciful God. And because He is a God of all grace, He offers salvation to all without a price. And this is the ultimate healing for anyone, is to come to Jesus Christ through repentance and faith. And my friend, understand, it is only by grace through faith that you can be saved. It goes on to say in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, not of works lest any man should boast. In Titus 3, 15 it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy we have received the washing of regeneration. Folks, if there's anything that you can do that helps save you, think about this. Then why did Christ die? If you can offer your good works to help save Him, then why did Christ die? You can't, because none doeth good. There is none that is righteous. And that means none measure up to the perfect righteousness of Christ. If I can do religious acts, whether being in church or taking communion or being baptized, if I can do that to help me get saved, then why did Christ die? Because if I could somehow be good enough to do it on my own, why did He die? Because we can never be good enough, and we can never do something to help receive our salvation. And so it is by grace. He has paid the full price for every sin, and every sinner of all time. But you have to receive that gift by faith. And it is because He is a resurrected Savior, He has the power to forgive sin. Every one of us needs the forgiveness of sin. So many times, particularly those of who are feeling and experiencing great hurt in their life, they see the sins of others to justify the sin in their own life. They put a magnifying glass upon the sins of others and think they are so horrible, and put blinders on so we cannot see our own sins. And we think they are horrible and we think we're okay. And we neglect that we need forgiveness of our sins as well. And because He is a resurrected Savior, He has the power to forgive sin. Because He is a resurrected Savior, He has the power to mend the broken heart. He has the power to make you accepted in God the Father. You know, one of the great challenges for people that have been hurt, they feel like, you know, I can never be accepted by God. They feel like they can never be accepted by mom or dad. They feel like they can never be accepted by friends. And so they make bad choices to try to gain acceptance and work through life. And it just makes life worse. Because of the resurrected power of Jesus Christ, he has the power to forgive the sins, mend the heart, and make you accepted before God. And with that, he has the power to give you a new and blessed hope in life. John 15:11 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." I have never conversed with a person that is in great hurt or small hurt that has an abiding, real joy in their heart, because it is filled with misery. But when you come to the healer of broken hearts and you come God's way, not only is there eternal life, but there is new life. And there is a life where you can experience the joy that he intended every person to experience. Christ dealt with every sin that is behind every hurt that you may have experienced and every sinner that may have hurt you. He not only provided salvation for the greatest hurt, and that is eternal separation from God unto everlasting fire with his judgment, but he has also provided healing for today for every hurt. And he offers freely to you his divine remedy. Pick on my family again. Our son-in-law is a pharmacist and has a pharmacy. Let's say hypothetically, he has a pill in his drugstore that will heal every possible malady that anybody could have. Cancer, infection, broken bones, even lost limb, bring it back. I mean, it will remedy every malady that you can think of. And not only that, but there's not any negative side effects. I just love these drug commercials they have on TV, and they tell you how wonderful this is and how great your life is, and then in soft words real fast, this may cause depression, may cause death, may cause headaches, may cause... It's like, who wants to take that? And with this, there is absolutely no negative side effects whatsoever. And then you add to it a very wealthy businessman comes along and says, I'll pay for it so anybody can come and have it. Won't cost them a thing. Now, do you know what? Unless you go and pick it up or you order it and have it mailed to you, that great remedy is not going to do you a bit of good. You got incurable cancer. If you don't get that pill, it'll never be remedied. You got an infection that's going to kill you if you don't get that pill. It's there, it's available, it's free, but if you don't receive it, it'll never do you any good. You'll die with your disease. How much greater and how much more so is the salvation of God? He has provided it, he has paid the price, and he offers it full and free to whosoever believeth on him shall be saved. He has paid for every sin, each sin and any sin and all sin of every sinner of every time and all times. That covers everything since creation. But my friend, his salvation will do you no good unless you come through repentance and faith to Jesus Christ. Christ has provided the means of new life. He has provided the means of a spiritual healing for every hurt you have or may have experienced. But you must come and receive it. I know the nature of people. I have to deal with the human nature myself as well. And I know there are people saying, well, maybe not today. God's word says, you don't know if you have tomorrow. Life is a vapor. And I believe that after how fast this last week went. It evaporated quick. Life is a vapor. You don't know that you have tomorrow. You say, well, I think I can fix it. Well, let's think about how long you've been dealing with this. You've been dealing with hurt. You've been dealing with anger. You've been dealing with bitterness. You've been dealing with wrath. And you know better than I know, behind the mask we put upon our face, that it ain't working so well. You're still miserable inside. So let me invite you to Jesus Christ. In Matthew 11, 28 and 29, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls.